The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brandon Communications. You're Alan.
Good morning, Just. How are you, sir?
Yeah, it's all right. It's a warm weekend, wasn't it?
God, not off. Well, I was in France. I went to my wife Annie and I went over and looked at the D-Day landing sites, and because the D-Day celebrations are still going on there, and it was an uplifting trip. It really was incredible. And I think when you actually go and look at all the places, you realise, you know, how much of the economy in that region benefits from the tourism that the D-Day landing sites, visitors and tourists. Bring to the economy there. It's quite incredible. You know, hotels are all booked out, and you've got vintage cars touring around. You can hire them at 120 euros for an hour and drive around in a sort of World War II US Army staff car, a bit like General Patton was driven around in, that sort of thing. And all the way through to Pegasus Bridge, where the paratroopers came in. And on that bridge there, the cafe, and the little girl who was four when the paratroopers came in and basically won that bridge back for the French and the Allies, she was in the cafe on that day. And she's still behind the counter now. Wow. You know, yeah, it's well worth a trip. Well worth a trip if you go on there. But I'm not going to ramble on about that because we're talking about shares.
Yeah, well, no, I was driving my son up to a boxing club recently, and about this morning, and there was a little French car in front of me, right? And they had one of these things where, you know, I've ever seen this tiny caravans. They're towed behind.
Oh,
them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And
I
don't understand what the point of them is, because you can't stand up in them. You can't. All you can do is pretty much lie down in them. I think they're probably just long enough for a grown adult to lie down in. What's the point? It's from France. I did say to my son, do you think we should get a nice RV, big one, and just travel around Europe for some holidays? He went, no. I said, why? I want to be my friend on the summer holidays. Okay. But have you ever seen those tiny little caravans? I think, what's the point of those? I suppose if you're in between stops, or hotel stops maybe, it's good to lie down for a night, but you can't wash in them. There's nothing in them apart from a bed, is there? I don't know what's in them.
Well, the thing is, if you go to any campsite now, you've got the shower block, you've got the toilets and everything, and you know, campsite shop, and some campsites have a bar. A bar and a restaurant, so you can actually go and do all that, and then you just stagger back across the fields and get into your caravan. But you know, if you're as tall as I am, you'd probably kick your feet out and they go straight through the wall at the back.
Exactly. I don't say. Yeah, I have no idea what they're for. Really, they're tiny little things. So really odd. Okay. Right. Well, let's talk about stocks now. What is it? What's happening?
Okay, so I wanted to talk about Halfords, the eponymous car spares place, and of course the automotive servicing network up and down the country. And Halfords have had a pretty good run of late. I mean, if you look at the share price, they've actually delivered a fairly strong performance over the year. Dipped off a bit in April, but recovered nicely. And of course, we're now in the run up to those results. Which are coming up very shortly. There was a downgrade by RBC Capital Markets earlier in the year, a couple of months ago. But even they said then that Halfords remained a strong player in a space that's seen a number of challenges over the past few years. And of course, in the last trading update in January, the group said, its biggest problem has been hiring or finding qualified technicians to work in its auto centres. And of course, nowadays, you know, with the cost of new cars, people are keeping second-hand cars for longer. So a requirement for a standard level of service network for automotive work has never been higher. And I think, you know, Halfords has got a very good brand for that and a very good brand name. But they've struggled to recruit, and they've now sort of introduced a new later life apprenticeship program. So if people are working in a particular industry and they want to switch careers, you could go to Halfords, they'd retrain you as a motor engineer, and obviously you'd be working for a large company. So I think it's got a really good business model. Obviously, the shops are well known. They're seeing strong growth in cycling as well. You know, cycling is services represent 50% of group revenue, so that's a huge part of it. But cycling is also still key to the growth for the company. So so the company did reduce its guidance for the year pre-tax profits to 50 million from 60 million. But nonetheless, you know, the market obviously likes Halfords shares, pays a 4.45% dividend, and we're in the run-up to those final numbers now. So you could perhaps consider that you could buy the stock on the rumor and sell on the news, or maybe just buy and hold for the dividend that's upcoming. Either way, I think this Halfords now have a really good, strong business model, and you know, provided the hiring process or identifying you know, qualified technicians to work in the auto centers doesn't really hold the group back, then I think it's got a really strong future.
Yeah, do you know what? We go to our local Halfords, and they're always very helpful. You know, always, you know, sometimes they've said, maybe that's a problem. Sometimes they say, no, we won't charge you for that. It's like, well, It's almost like they run, they're almost like given the autonomy to run, you know, how they want to, the guys there. So it's quite good. They're very helpful. They've always been very helpful for us.
Yeah.
With the kids and their bikes, and yeah, I quite like them. And so generally, when you see that, when people are very helpful, always, you know, willing to help you out, you want to succeed, don't you? You know, you think, oh, you know, that was nice to me. There was a plight, always, you know, on debt, on time. So, yeah, it's good. So,
that's a very good point, actually. Yeah, yeah. The I think there is a degree of autonomy given to branch managers in that they can, you know, they've got the opportunity to provide great customer service, you know, and the decision rests with them as to what to do with a particular customer. And I think that's really good and really important. So in a sense, the branches are competing against each other as well, you know, which is a great thing. And they're competing to provide the best service. And you know, it's hard to build a good reputation in the motor industry, but you get a bad one overnight, literally. So I think the model's really good, and certainly, you know, the market does seem to like Halfords shares. You know, really strong sort of growth chart over the past year. We're currently trading just over £2 a share. The year high, of course, is £2.27 a share. So I guess if the numbers are in line, and I don't think there's any reason to expect they won't be, then there's always the scope for a rise back up to those year highs again.
Yeah, I remember in the lockdown, do you remember when all shares took a massive tumble in the lockdown, the Dash for Cash crash, you know, in March 2020? And then people realised that, you know, one of the rules is you could cycle around in places, you can go out cycling.
Yeah.
And then there was a help buy scheme, I think, for bikes or something.
Yeah.
So people were like, hang on, Halfords is one of the benefactors of this. And they went from like 51 pence at the low in March 2020 to £4.25 in sort of a year later, well, July from March. Yeah, so a year later. So that's a good return, isn't it? 50 pence for a big, you know, bigger stock.
It's a fantastic return, yeah. It's a fantastic return. And, of course, you know, if you bought the stock and you've got that 10-bagger result in your portfolio, and then, of course, the stock starts paying a 4.5% dividend again. Mm. So, you know, what's not to like? It's a great company, and I still think it offers good value at these levels. Obviously, the market's slightly different now, but we're off year lows of £1.24, and as I say, there's that dividend yield there, 4.4%.
Yeah. Whoever said the markets were efficient are insane. Because if you look at that stock price, like literally, it's gone from a massive low, oversold massively on the March 2020, and it's literally gone almost straight up the next, you know, several months, a year or so, to 4.25, and then it's always come back down again. Then, so the market's not efficient. That's why you take advantage of the markets, you know. And in fact, bear markets are a time when you can take advantage. There's mispricing because everyone's risk averse, and so stocks are not, you know, reflecting their fair value. So, you know, they're undervalued, many of them. Cool. What's next, Al?
Okay, so another a technology company that that has a great and unique offering, and I think to some degree is corner of the market. This is, of course, Moonpig. We've spoken about Moonpig on numerous occasions, and the group announced last week it's announcing its full year results for the 12 months ended 30th of April on 29th of June. So we're a couple of weeks off that, but of course they've developed this offering and they are now the go-to destination for cards, gifts, and flowers, and they're taking business away from Interflora in this regard. They're just building a technology platform that is, I think, well ahead of competitors like Interflora in this space. And also, they have market-leading cutoff times, so you can order something at 9 o'clock or up to 9 o'clock in the UK, and it'll be there the following day. They have an operation in the Netherlands called Greet, and you can order it up to 10 p.m. and it'll still get there the next day. So it's got a really strong business model, and of course for cards, I think there's nothing better. You know, oh dear, you've forgot the mother-in-law's card. So there you go, get some great pictures uploaded the night before. Nice message in there, and she'll think that loads of work has gone into it, whereas in fact you knocked it together with 5 minutes to spare and actually got it in the post for, and it got to her the following day. So you know, it saved so many the reputation of so many sons-in-law over the years. But it just goes to show the strength of the model. The last trading update we have from the company was on March 30th. And they recorded then their largest ever week of sales in the run-up to Mother's Day. Full year expectations remain unchanged at 320 million in revenue and unchanged EBITDA. So we're in the run-up to that now. And, you know, we're seeing the share prices sort of bottomed out, hit the year low of 102p in March, mid-March. And since then, it's started to recover nicely. And that's a nice-looking chart, I think. No dividend paid yet, of course, but I think in terms of capital growth, I think they've developed the model well. They've developed different ways to earn money, a subscription service to create subscription revenue, and of course they're acquisitive too. Chief Executive Nicol Ratitha is ex banking and internet, and the chairwoman Kate Swan, formerly with WH Smith, as well. It constitute a really strong management team to take this company forward. So again, in the run-up to the results, is it worth buying the stock now in the run-up to the results, or do you buy after, you know, buy the rumor, sell in the news, or is there scope? I think there's scope for further growth in this, and I think given that we're in this post-COVID environment, there are a lot of people now whose lives have been forever changed by COVID and will only order online. They won't go into a shop again to order cards, so this is very much the way forward.
Yeah, well, you know, I was talking about my wife's birthday on the weekend, and I'm rubbish. She's good with birthdays. She does a lot for the kids, you know, fills tables up with balloons and cards and presents, cash, all that nonsense. And literally, I come up with like a bottle of Prosecco and a Moonpig card. And I said, my mate on the weekend, it should have been lastminute.com Moonpig, because that's what it is for fellas, let's be honest. You personalise the card. It looks like you put a bit of effort in. It's taking 5 minutes. And it's £5. You get a send. And it's better than a sort of... it's one up from an e-card, is it,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
But, you know, it should have been called lastminute.com. They should have bought that, because that's what it is. It's essentially, it's one up from the flowers from the garage on the way home. You know, you think, oh, let's just pop in the garage and get some flowers. It's like, isn't it? But, and I said, Pete, a friend of mine, I suspect if you look at their demographic, it's mostly men.
Yes.
I don't know if there's many women. Women are more organised. They know what to do with. Men are like, because I don't know about you, but I genuinely hate buying presents for Christmas, birthdays. I hate
don't.
It. Women, it's a generalisation, but most women actually enjoy going shopping for presents. They enjoy
it.
I know.
I feign illness sometimes. I just pretend I'm just not well enough to go out now. You know, I cannot face the thought of shopping for presents. It's just horrendous. It's a total anathema to me. Can't stand it. But interesting point with Moonpig. You know, you said, pay a fiver for a card. It's all about price point with the company like Moonpig. And I think, you know, given that their target audience is guys like you and I that do it lastminute.com, how much more would you pay to do that card last minute? So if you were charged a fiver and you were happy to pay a fiver, would you pay £7.50?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well,
yeah. So
hang on, it's a bit of paper, and they're sending it out very quickly. I know that, but it's 7:50, maybe. Yeah, I think maybe yeah. I would. Yeah.
Convenience. I just think that there is some scope for, but they've got to be careful, because the thing is, once you set that price point out there, you know, once that price point's out there, it's very hard to come back from that. Yeah, you can drop it, but of course, if you drop it, you're dropping a profit. So, price points. That's a really interesting point, I think, and worth considering. And I'm sure the Moonpig management team have agonised over this. You know, where should we set it? You know, what's a good price? But in these days of high inflation, you know, they could maybe add a few quid. I'm not saying do, because we don't want to pay more. But for what it actually does, you buy that card and you're out of a hole. But it looks like you spent hours putting the effort in. You know, that's a huge thing for us guys.
Yeah, I wonder how much. I know they're trying to upsell you a bit, don't they? You know, all that stuff. I never go for that. I think I've done it once. But I wonder how often they, you know, the percentage of male clientele who are lastminute.com think, oh, I need to buy something else as well. Because they have got a range of goodies that you can buy, but I never go for that. You just go for the card, basically.
Yeah, me too. I think I've used them for, I think we put some balloons on once or something, but again, it was just such an easy, intuitive process. You just think, you know, why can't all services be like this? But it just really fulfills a need, and I think they've cornered the market there, but of course there'll be others out to get them, but I think... Yeah.
They've got a bit of debt, though, haven't they? They've got about $230 million of debt. Which
they have.
Off their market cap, you know?
Yeah, but that's technology. I mean, when you're investing in technology and building that sort of technology platform, that just makes us so the USP is so good. You know, you and I use it. Oh God, it's so easy. App on the phone, pull that photograph in, put that message there, use that font. Yeah, bang, job done, and it's done. It's gone, and you know the card's there the next day. I mean, that it takes a lot. That's a huge amount of money working behind the scenes to get that card out to its destination and, of course, generate a profit for Moonpig at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, what's next, Al?
Finally, just want to touch on Altona Rare Earths. This is, as the name would imply, a rare earths company. Altona, of course, have been around for a few years. They were formerly a coal mining company years ago, and then they were the company came back to market, was reinvented under the leadership of Christian Taylor Wilkinson, the chief executive. I think you've spoken to him a few times, Jess. Yeah. And of course, the company set its stall out very much as a company seeking quality rare earth projects to bring to market. They went through several projects. They looked at a project in southern Malawi called the Chambray Project. They looked at a project in Uganda called the Nankoma Rare Earth Project. But they rejected both of those, and they stuck with another one they looked at, which was the Monte Muambi Rare Earth Project in the Tete Province, northwest Mozambique. Now, this is a former fluorspar mine, and there are already a number of drill holes there. So this is before the company started to take ownership. A very small amount of the area had been drilled. But in the drilling that had been done, they pulled out some decent grades of total rare earth oxides recorded enough and also recorded oxides on surface that really piqued their interest. And so the long-standing geologist with the company, Cedric Simonet, has been on site working down there for a number of years, and they've taken steps to phase out an ownership program that brings them in and ticks the boxes and brings in different levels of ownership. So they started out with 20%, This is during the time the company were listed on Aquis. Last week they announced they'd raised 2 million quid at 7.25 pence. They had at the same time increased their holding in Monte Moambi from 20% to 51%. So they became majority owners. And that was a huge step forward. At the same time, Christian Taylor Wilkinson, who'd been overseeing the development of the company, stepped down. He remains on the board of the company, and Cedric Simonet has stepped up from chief ops officer to chief executive. So, I think Christian said the company is entering a technical phase now in terms of its development and the work that's being done there. So, having Cedric at the helm, I think, is a very sound move for the company. So, the scope of the project's huge. There's an awful lot of work still to be done, but the company has now raised the cash. It's listed on the main market, currently trading at 5.5p, so it's below the level at which the money was raised. And of course, we're now seeing the company build on this asset, and the plan is now to fast track the preliminary feasibility study, and then of course we move from there to DFS in double quick time, and to then building a rare earth mine at the site of Monte Moambi. So it's early days, but it's now main market listed, and I think a lot of people don't like investing in Aquis companies because there's a sense perhaps that there isn't the liquidity there. I think some companies have done very well on Aquis, but I think particularly for companies like Alterna Rare Earths, it serves them better being on a main market listing. There's greater liquidity and so on. So yeah, it's now happened. I think a bright future for the firm going forward, and I'm sure we're going to hear more from Cedric Simonet in his new role as chief executive going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. I know. Yes. I've never invested on a company on Aquis. Have you?
I've invested a company on Aquis, and made some money, lost some money, so I think
some money, lost some money.
Make money, lost money.
You probably lost more than you made on Aquis. Good.
Probably over the years, if I total everything up, yes, yeah, I probably have. But I think the thing is with Aquis now, with the Apex companies, you can actually trade those electronically, and that's been the biggest step forward. So, with your Hargreaves Lansdowne account or whatever, you can now trade these stocks electronically, and that's. Prior to that, of course, you had to phone your broker up, and the trade would still get done. So, for traders who just wanted to get wanted to buy a stock, it was still a very straightforward process. But now you can buy and sell electronically; it makes it an awful lot easier.
Mm. So, do you know what? I was looking on the weekend podcast. I was talking about the markets. So, Nasdaq is up 29% from its low. S&P 500 20% up. Dow 18%, FTSE 250 15%, FTSE 350 11%, FTSE 100 10%, AIM All Share 2%.
Yeah.
When do you think we'll kick back into life, Al? When do you think it'll start? When do you think we'll enter a technical bull market on AIM?
The longer the bear market goes on, logically you'd have to say that we're getting closer to that bull market taking place. But I think during COVID, of course, we had the boom in commodities. We are in a commodity super cycle, and I think companies that are engaged in projects and they're pulling decent stuff out of the ground, they're starting to see a decent performance in their share price. But by and large, it has been a wasteland, hasn't it? It's just been really hard work, and you'll talk about a company or look at a company 1 week. And think goodness it's dropped all that way down, and then the following week it drops again, and you just think, God, where's the logic? And it's we're at capitulation phase, aren't we? We're at the point where people are so disillusioned with the markets that they're just giving up, selling out what's left and taking a loss and moving on. And that's the market needs rejuvenating, but I think stocks will continue to come to market. There will be some great stocks that will come along and will outperform, but stock picking as ever at this moment in time is key.
Yeah, I'm close to checking out, I think. Go. Well, it's just you invest so much emotion in this. Because I look at it all the time, the markets, and I think, oh, it's driving me nuts. Really.
Yeah,
is.
Yeah, it is. But
despondency, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think
can't
a lot
take
of
it anymore, Al.
Can't take it, Jas. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yeah. Come on, mate. You've been this for a long time. Don't give up.
I know, but I only remember being, you know, last time I was in the great sort of bear market, I was doing other things, you know, so I was working as well, a different job, was working the radio as well as doing this, so I wasn't always on it, you know, but then, now when you're talking about it all the time and always on it, it just grinds your brain down, you know, to me, it's just mind-numbing, it's killing
me. Yeah, it's hard work. It's hard work. So, I think you just got to manage your risk and manage your money accordingly. But you know, always have a position because, as you and I know too well, it can turn around so quickly, and within a week or 2 weeks, you can make as much money as you could do in previous years. You know, in an entire year. And that's just the way things can turn around. So if there's a particular shortage, say, in a particular commodity, and, you know, there's a report from, say, there's a disaster in a particular mine, or something happens and there is a worldwide shortage of iron ore or gold or whatever, instantly that commodity will spike in price. You know, it will go up. And, of course, we've got the demand for lithium, which is well recorded, but again, it's hard to find lithium mines. You know, I think, you know, I've spoken to Kieran Mazaria at Cadence Minerals a lot about this, and, you know, he said, I think all of the projects out there, the ones that actually come on stream and become effective mines are less than 1%. And, of course, we're seeing Premier do that now, or Premier African Minerals with the Zulu lithium project. So that's a great result. But, it's not easy, and it never goes – you know, going up never goes in a straight line.
Yeah. I'm still looking to, looking at RVs and just taking a trip around Europe for a year, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But well, I've realised we've got a dog now. We can't do that.
No. Well, therein lies an issue, because we have two Yorkshires and Yorkshire Terriers, and sadly we lost one a few months ago, and we went away for the weekend and left the other one with a dog sitter, and he's in a terrible way. He's still missing his sister. So we got back, and he was pining, hadn't eaten, kept on howling whenever she went out of the room. So yeah, very sad. Yeah, so
maybe
yeah.
It's not good to get two dogs. I mean, maybe we just get one dog. So you know,
I have to say, you know, we got these two, and they've been wonderful fun over the years. But you're now at a point where if we got a puppy now. You know, Jimmy would be fine. He'd probably, you know, take an interest. But then, of course, you've got that other legacy. And I'm actually thinking, you know, it would be, yeah, it wouldn't be right for us, certainly. And yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I would stick with one dog.
Yeah.
Unless you've got, you know, unless you don't mind having hundreds of dogs galloping around the house. And we know some people like that. But it's just canine chaos, you know. And,
yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't mind that, though. Pardon me, but you get one dog, they're quite nice, but you get too many. But yeah, but anyway, I don't know how we've gone from the markets to dogs there, but
what else are you talking about?
Yeah, marvellous. Thanks for Al. Speak to you next week.
Cheers, Jas. Speak next week.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.